and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Let's stand on our feet while we sing. That's a sign of God's coming. All the night. I know it's a terrible wet night outside, bad night. But the Lord bless each one that's made an effort to come out tonight. The winter's definitely here. I don't really like the winter. But there's one good thing about it. It won't last. It'll change. Some stage it'll change. That's the one good thing about it. So a fella said to me about a wee town one time, did I know the best thing about it? And it says I do. I know the best thing about it, the road out of it. That's what the winter's like. It'll change, isn't it? Praise God. The Lord bless you, and don't forget Thursday night. I was going to say Wednesday, Thursday night. We're continuing in the book of Samuel. I think we might be at chapter 17 this Thursday night. and come along and just pray the Lord will help us. My problem is getting enough time. There's no problem of me studying, but it's getting the time to do it. And I love to get closed in, but it's getting enough time, and we'll have to redeem whatever time we can, praise God. Tonight, I want us to read from Romans, and I want to read verse 1 and verse 13 of Romans. Sorry, Romans chapter 1. And I really do like the book of Romans, but it's just to get someone out of this tonight. I want to be talking about the gospel. Seven different aspects of the gospel. And the way it's referred in scripture. And we'll just see as we go tonight how the Lord leads. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Let's bow our heads again tonight. If you have a need, just lift your hand up to the Lord this evening. If you have a need, and we'll pray for you, that the Lord will really touch you tonight. And we want to think of those that's still not too well, that the Lord will touch them. Praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight in the lovely, precious name that is far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we would say with the hymn writer this evening, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Father, we would pray you would bless your word to their hearts tonight. Bind every work of the enemy, we pray. May every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now in the precious name of Jesus. And I thank you that you will. Lord, I pray for the hands that's raised. You know the needs. Pray you'll meet every single need in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for Sister Linda and Sister Winifred and maybe others we don't know about, that you will touch them and heal them and that everything will be well. Bless Linda as the wee one comes. Lord, protect them, watch over them, be with them, and bless the whole family in the name of the Lord Jesus. And touch your sister Winifred as well, and bless her children, save every one of them. And Lord and Brother George, the whole family circle, save all that they're praying for in Jesus' precious name. Lord, move in our own children, our own families in this house, and deliver them and save them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Now, Father, bless your word to their hearts tonight. May the Holy Spirit make this meeting. We know, Lord, that as is often said, it's the Holy Ghost that makes the meeting. And we pray that you'll come and give us a service tonight and help us, we pray, above all, to glorify you, the Lord Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Just for a title tonight, the gospel. And it definitely is a divine revelation. And a simple definition of the term gospel is good news. That's a simple definition of the term. Glad tidings of good things. What this good news is, well, it's glad tidings of good things. To include all the New Testament, what it teaches and all that the New Testament is embodied in the gospel, we would have to take in the whole universe. It covers everything. God's grace and God's gospel covers absolutely everything. There's nothing that the gospel really doesn't cover tonight. The seven prismatic colors of the rainbow, how many, you know, even in the glass, you know, when you look at a glass a certain way, there's the prismatic colors, they call it, on any of the colors in the rainbow. And we see that in the natural, and the rainbow speaks to us of God's covenant, and them prismatic colors, they all reflect them colors. What's in the Bible. And then the Bible speaks about the seven spirits of God. And then we see we have the sevenfold character of the gospel revealed by the grace of God. Sevenfold character revealed. Now, first of all, what is this gospel that is called the gospel of God? So firstly in a reading tonight, when we read the very first verse, Paul says this is the gospel of God. So it doesn't belong to the Baptists or the Methodists or the Presbyterian or the Message or any of them names. None of them names owns the gospel. But this is the gospel of God. Therefore, it's not God, it's not man's message, it's God's message. And because it's God's gospel and it's God's message, it's absolutely perfect. And it's not the imagination of some man, but it is from God. It is God's gospel. It is the good news of God's mercy, God's attitude to the world. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. So when we look at people, no matter where they're at, whether they're a drug addict, a prostitute, or a jailbird, or call them whatever you want to call them, what you have to remember is, lay that all aside, God still loves them. Every soul is precious in the eyes of the Lord. And this gospel is a gospel of God's love, because it's God's gospel. He who declared, all souls are mine. That's what God said. Every soul is mine. Now reveals himself as seeking to save through the sacrifice of his son. That's what God's gospel came to do. God sent the son into the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, special, unique son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the first thing, it's God's gospel. Number two, it is the gospel of Christ. So it's God's gospel, but it's also the gospel of Christ. Romans 1 verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now this is a wonderful portion, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is God's gospel. It's God's gospel, and it is the gospel of Christ. And you know, when people say, what is the gospel? It's a good news, but there's much to the gospel. Philip preached the gospel. And what did he preach? Christ. Philip went down and he preached Christ unto them. And the Bible says when he preached Christ, the devils cried out and came out because he preached Christ. I believe the real gospel's anointed. I believe that. It's a deliverance. It's anointed. And this is God's gospel. And then the second thing is, it is the gospel of Christ. Paul declared, I'm not ashamed of the good news. He's not ashamed of this gospel. It's good news. It is God's power which is at work for the salvation of every single one who will believe. This gospel is so powerful, no matter where a person's at, in jail, out of jail, in whatever condition they're in, if they truly will believe, there's power in this gospel to deliver them and set them free. God's character and works included in his life. In his own life we saw it. His death, his resurrection, the brightness, and the glory of his divine love and power. It's all in the gospel of Christ. So it's God's gospel, and it's the gospel of Christ. Number three, and of seven things, of the seven pours on the night. Call it what you want, but I've seven things I want to show you. Different statements about the gospel. But it's all the gospel. And then I'm not stopping there, and then I'm going to show you the revelation of it after through the seven. I'll not keep you that long. I'm not going any more in a couple of hours. You know, I'm just joking. Here's number three, the gospel of God's grace. So it's God's gospel, it's the gospel of Christ, and it's the gospel of God's grace. Acts 20 verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course in joy and ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So it is also the gospel of the grace of God. It was the grace of God that lifted you and me from the pit we were in. It was God's grace. Grace means unmerited favor. There's nothing in any of us that would please God or make God love us. But God loved us just because he chose to love us. And God, through the grace of his gospel, delivered us and brought us out of where we were. This is the gospel of grace. The gospel of God's grace. Can we realize what this grace really means? Afforded by the Almighty God. and a favor bestowed on us with the almightiness of God in it. So God is in this gospel. Now you could have a church membership and you'll have whatever comes with that, but it won't do much for you really. But when you've got the real gospel of God's grace, God's in it. There's a power in it. There's grace in it. When men wouldn't forgive you, God will forgive you. He'll say, I'm going to grant you grace. Amen. Pardon, grace. I tell you, the woman at the well knew all about that grace, didn't she? No, there wasn't even one pastor. But Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. And there she met with God's gospel of grace and the person of the Lord Jesus. That's where it was. It was in it. He was displaying it. The grace of God is God's power operating in love and mercy on our behalf. That's God's grace. This grace was manifested in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And this is good news, isn't it? Here, number four, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation, Ephesians 1:13. In whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Isn't that wonderful? When you receive this gospel and you take part in it, it is a gospel of your salvation. This gospel saves. It saves. And that's why I've called it the gospel of your salvation. Well, the Bible's called it, but I'm using it as one of the things that I want to bring out tonight. And whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you believe the gospel of your salvation. And then you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad for the seal of God? Once you're sealed, you can never be lost. You're the Lord's. And that's the seal of the King. Hallelujah. Thank God for the seal. Aren't you glad for the gospel of your salvation? Good news for your individual soul, something to meet. Our own personal needs to call forth our own hearts, trust, thanksgiving, and gratefulness to the service of God. That's what the gospel of our salvation is. Also, here's another saying in James 1:18. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. God with his own will begot us with the word of truth. He gave us the gospel of our salvation. And he begot us with the word of truth. Thanks be to God for such joyful tidings. Number five, it is the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. Now there's some things I want to bring out tonight in this particular part, the gospel of the kingdom. Mark 1 verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now as I was studying the day and I hadn't prepared this, but I was going back over all these scriptures and thinking over these things what I put down, and it just dawned on me and it came to me, and I've made it mentioned it before, I don't know, but it came to me the day, and I put more scriptures down here. But you know, John was doubting, John was put in jail, and John was doubting, and John questioned, is this the one or do we look for another? And let's read it from Luke 7, verse 20 to 22, what the message is sent back. And when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Verse 21 of Luke 7. And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. So this is really emphasizing the miracle power of the Lord Jesus Christ here. So the Lord's making this known. When John sends this question out, John is going to send them back with the answer. And this is the power of God. And John's going to know the man that can perform these things, he's the one. That's how he's going to know. Look at verse 22. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. But I stood for a title here in this part,
the gospel of the kingdom. Because Jesus says here that I cast out devils today, do cures today, miracles tomorrow, and the kingdom of God has come amongst you. Because when Jesus comes amongst you, the kingdom of God has come amongst you, and the authority of the kingdom and the kingdom powers come amongst you. And I tell you, where Jesus is, the kingdom of God's amongst you. It's not someone that's afar off. I know there's heaven and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this power. There's a phrase about kingdom power. There's kingdom power. Now understand what I'm saying tonight. If the King of England sends you on the king's errand or the king's business, you have kingdom authority, you have kingdom power to go places, to say things and do things because you've been sent. And Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. He was the Lord's ambassador, and we're the Lord's ambassadors. And we don't go with nothing. We go with kingdom power. Where do you get that in the Bible, John 16? These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They'll speak with new tongues, so forth. James as well. Kingdom power. The good tidings of the kingdom yet to come, when Jesus shall reign from sea to sea and from the uttermost parts of the earth shall become his possession. He's going to do all that. But yet with all he says, when he was here on earth, the kingdom of God's amongst you. That's what he said. And he goes and tells John all the things he's doing. Meanwhile, the gospel of the kingdom is preached and all the world for a witness to all nations. Matthew 24, verse 14. Then shall the end come. So the gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a witness. I want you to notice the real gospel of the kingdom is shown in the mighty power of Jesus Christ himself. Matthew 12, 28. But I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. Then the kingdom of God has come on you. Know what he said? He says it here in Matthew 12, 28. If I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come on you. And I tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes in a meeting and things begin to happen, the kingdom of God's amongst you. That's the truth. The power of God's there. The king's approval's there. You know, in the book of Acts, didn't they pray that prayer? They said, Lord, stretch forth your hand with mighty signs and wonders and divers miracles. Amen. Now, number six, and I'm not going to be taking you too long tonight. It's the everlasting gospel. Brother John read this some time back, and he mentioned it's a long time back, but it touched me. And I've never forgot it, and it's blessed me ever since. This phrase, because I'd heard so many people belittle the gospel. But then here in Revelation 14:6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. So our sixth thing tonight is the everlasting gospel. This gospel's not just the gospel of the kingdom when Jesus is here, not just the gospel of grace, not just the gospel of God, it's all them things, but it's also the everlasting gospel. That means it's good yesterday, it's good today, it'll be good tomorrow, it'll be good the next day, it'll always be good, and it won't change. Because it's the everlasting gospel, and it cannot change. And this everlasting gospel to be preached unto all them that dwell in the earth, and every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. So when people say, who's this for? The Bible says to all. It's to be preached to them all. Now whether they believe it, that's not important. In this, I don't mean not important, but we can't have any control of that. That's down to the Lord. But we're to preach it everywhere. Amen. I tell you, thank God for it. It is the good news of the ages. This everlasting gospel. We saw at the start, it's good news. Well, this is the good news of the ages. Here is something that shall never lose its freshness. This gospel never loses freshness. People say, oh, I don't want to go around somewhere and get something fresh. Well, the gospel's fresh. Because it's everlasting. Now, think of that for a moment. Hold that thought, it's fresh because it's everlasting. No matter what product you buy in your shop today, it's dated. And even if they fill it full of preservatives, which most of it has, it still won't last long, will it?
But this gospel
doesn't need any of them things. It's everlasting. There's no artificial preservatives in it, but it's the eternal power of Almighty God's in it. And it's everlasting. Everlasting. So that means if the gospel was preached in the days of Peter and John and a man was healed, it can still happen today because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's everlasting. It's the same. It's unchanging. Unchanging. What a contrast to the delusive pleasures of the world. Pleasures that are only for a season, aren't they? But this is an everlasting gospel. Here's number 7. The gospel of the glory of Christ. It's also the gospel of the glory of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. So it's a glorious gospel. My, I thank God for that. It's a glorious gospel. Who's the image of God should shine unto them. And we know that Jesus was express image of God. In other words, he's God manifested and revealed in flesh. That's who he is. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen God. Amen? He's God manifested in flesh. What for? To destroy the works of the devil. This glorious gospel is manifested, and it's there to destroy the works of the devil. And every work of the devil in your life and in my life, this gospel's brightness can destroy. Paul knew what he was to meet this glorious, bright gospel. When the light struck him, and he fell down of his horse. The gospel is truly glorious, but it's also good news of the glory of Christ. Amen? The Christ who gave himself to the curse of death, which I mentioned on the cross this morning. He gave himself on the cross, cursed to everyone that hangeth on the tree. He gave himself. Now I'm finishing in a moment. But you know, he became our mediator. The mediator between God and man. There's no other way to come, only through him. No other way. Philippians 2 and 9 says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. I love this verse. And given him a name which is above every name. So his name's above every name. It's glorious. Glorious. The world takes it in a curse word, doesn't it? How often do they take it in a swear word? I hear it every day. Cursing and blaspheming. But we want to take it as a sweet medicine. It's a sweet name. It's a wonderful name. You see, this gospel also has a revelation. It's a revelation to this gospel. There was a day when it was revealed to you. It was revealed to you. Now, I know God could have used a certain preacher or a certain Sunday school teacher, and people almost say a certain man saved him, but that's not true. God might have used them. But it was actually the Holy Spirit that enlightened you. That's what happened. Some man or woman or whoever was used, but it was the Holy Spirit that enlightened you. And the Holy Spirit revealed to you your need. And the light of the glorious gospel sprung in on you. And you had a revelation of your need. And not only had you a revelation of your need, but you had a real revelation of the one that could save you. And you knew when you called on him you were saved, didn't you? You had a revelation. Now, I don't know what you think of it. People talk about most important revelations. That has to be the number one. Amen. 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 That has to be the number one. The revelation that you were saved and knew it. That the Lord give you that revelation. This is simple, yet we are to declare it. In this gospel then we have something that could not be invented by man. Couldn't be invented by man, because the natural mind could never conceive what this is able to impart to us. But it's through the Holy Spirit that it's imparted to us. Something that man could never discover. But this is the revelation from God. And isn't it wonderful that the revelation calls it the revelation of Jesus Christ? That's really what it is. It's a revelation to Jesus Christ. Why, brother? Because the Bible says, no man can come unto me except my Father draweth him. And no man can know him save to him who the Son will reveal him. God gives you a revelation that you know what Jesus done for you, and you come and you accept it. And I tell you, it's the glorious light of the gospel. And you are, people talk about seeing the light. You're lit up. You're actually lit up. The gospel lights you up, because the Bible says we once walked in darkness, but now we're in the light. And Jesus is the light of the world. So when you receive Jesus, you receive light and life. Neither God nor man will ever be ashamed of this gospel. Something alone can solve the mystery of the human guilt and the righteousness of God is the gospel. God needed appeased. We needed saved. And I'm almost finished. Romans 10 and 15. How shall we preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This is the gospel of peace, isn't it? There's nothing will give you peace like the real gospel. It'll give you peace. Some of the angels decide to look into as a new manifestation of the divine character. It is, you know, in 1 Peter 1 verse 12, let me read it. 1 Peter 1 verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, and which things the angels have started to look into. God reveals things to us angels don't even know about. Is that what the Bible's saying? Angels decide to look into it. And I can't say exactly all what they know, but you know the one thing is, we have something that they don't have. We have a testimony that we have saved. They don't have that. Now I know the angel that never failed don't need saved because they didn't fall. But isn't it wonderful that we have a testimony tonight of God's grace, God's saving grace? And you can't change this Bible. It says that it's the angels are sorry to look into. 2 Peter 1 verse 12 says this, and I'm closing with this. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. That's why I preach it again tonight. I don't want to be negligent to put you in this present to share these things, because they're true. I could come here like some big fellow with some big shock title thing and tell you I have a new revelation. Tell you a load of nonsense how God spoke to him and all of it lies. But I'm giving you the truth. And you see, there's so many people today that want some new fantastic thing. But if God's not really in it, it's nonsense. And you remember one thing this Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun. It's always been done before. Even sermons we preach. Now, I know God could give you a sermon in a room and you've never heard nobody preach it. And God's given me different messages over the years and I've never heard nobody preach them. I've never read anybody else what they said on it or nothing. But yet, if you find out if you study long enough, some other man somewhere preached it, but you didn't even know about it. You know, it's possible God could give two men the same sermon and they never talked to each other, knew anything about each other, and you read that about Paul in the Bible. Preached the same thing, didn't he? Amen. That's the Spirit of God. That is the Spirit of God. And you see, the Holy Spirit can move in the meeting, and I could ask one of these brothers to preach, and they could preach something, and then a different brother could come behind another week and preach, and it just lines up. Not the Holy Spirit. God speaking to his people. No, wonderful. Let's stand our feet tonight, and let's really thank the Lord for this gospel. And always remember, it's God's gospel. No one has a claim on it. And there's a wee building, and the Lord bless them. They're called the Gospel Hall. But every single place of assembly should be the Gospel Hall. Amen. And I don't mean it as a wee name. I mean it as the real thing. And also, Pentecostal, it's the same. We should all be Pentecostal. Been experienced with the Lord, isn't that right? Let's come and pray and believe tonight. If God has spoke to anyone in this service and you still want prayer, just lift your hand to the Lord, every head bowed and every eye closed. And I'll pray for you before we close here this evening. Praise God. God's gospel. God's gospel. Someone listening in tonight, maybe you've never heard the gospel, but the gospel's good news. Jesus can really save a sinner and change him and transform him. All you have to do is call upon that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the good news, for the gospel. We thank you that no man can claim it in the sense that he made it or produced it, because it's God's gospel. We thank you, Lord, that the gift you gave came the whole way from heaven to earth. You condescended and you came down. And you took upon you the form of a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But we bless you this evening that this same Jesus God has raised from the dead, and the tomb is empty and the cross is empty, and you're risen indeed. And Lord, you're our mediator tonight. You're our high priest, and you're touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And we have a right as the people of God to come in boldness under the throne of grace, for we may find help in the time of need. Father, we're coming tonight. We're praying you bless your word till every heart. Bless everyone in this service. Have your way in all of our lives, and we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you'll direct our paths. Bless the children, especially in this room tonight. Pray you'll make preachers out of them. Pray, God, you'll move in every one of them and lead and guide them all the days of their life, and give them your very best in every part and in every way. Father, we thank you for every one of them. We pray for the children that's not even in this room tonight, but represented it here. We pray the Holy Spirit will move in them and speak to them and draw them unto yourself and save them, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Father, part us for your blessing, and make of rich and out of those sorrows. Bless your own people, Israel, tonight, and campeth round about them. On every side, I pray. And, oh God, have your angels watch over them. Lord Jesus, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. Many are afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them out of them all. Deliver your own people. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as your brother Gary comes. And don't forget, we'll be back, the Lord willing, and he's always willing, Thursday night. The Lord willing. God bless you.
Amen. Let's sing When the Road is Cold and Thunder. chorus before we go. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.